Hi, Assalamualaikum, salam sejahtera. Very special recording of 100 Hari Malaysia Baru. And if you notice, we've start dwindling down, dialing back on the leaders and the politicians and the ministers, because the 100 days of the new Malaysia must also focus on wisdom and knowledge. And I'm very, very honored to have with me today a very celebrated, intelligent guy, because I've scoured Google and one of the quote that I want to take is the most intelligent man in Egypt, Professor Dr. Ismail Sirajaldin. He has been a vice president with the World Bank, and that's one story that we'll ask him to sum up very shortly, but he has done more than that. There's a new kind of poverty. My grandparents' time, way back in rural Malaysia, they don't need much cash. The source of protein could come from the environment around them. When it's time for paddy harvesting, they have it from the paddy fields. When there's no paddy, my grandfather could go to the ocean and get protein from there, or can go to, you know, the rivers, or get from the forest. But now, if anyone doesn't have cash in modern society, they'll be hard-pressed. The use of pesticide, for example, in agriculture, took that ability to be self-sustaining away from the modern economy. 70% or more, according to statistics, of Malaysian population are in the urban area. And now we have urban poverty. They have money as compared to the definition of poverty before, but they find that they could hardly get much. And the study in this poor housing project that we have around the city, or Klang Valley as we call it, shows that some are even malnourished, malnutrition. So this UNICEF study shocked many people in Malaysia. How can you not have enough food when you are in the capital city, for example? So how do you look at the new definition of poverty as we increase in wealth, inequality is increasing?
Yes, well, there are two things. There's absolute poverty and there's relative poverty. And absolute poverty has different levels as well, but it normally is if you are so poor that you cannot afford the fundamentals of caloric coverage, protein coverage for nutrition, water, housing, clothes to protect you from the cold or the weather. So that's a line. And what we should see is a gradual reduction of the percent of people below that line. Now, it's true that you've had population growth. Population has grown very rapidly in the last century. You know, we went from 2 billion to 7.8 almost. Yeah. So, I mean, it's almost quadrupled. On the same planet, so fundamentally there's been that, but the percentage is reduced and we should continue to reduce that. But along with that comes another phenomenon, which is relative poverty, and that means that even in the wealthiest countries like Sweden, for example, or Norway, well, there are poor people, but they're not poor by our definition here. They're poor by the definition in Sweden. Because when you rank people in a society, there are those who are at the top, very rich, and those who are at the bottom who are very poor. And the relative poverty is felt, even though, for example, you could say that somebody who doesn't have a television or a refrigerator is considered poor in Norway or United States. Well, we know a lot of people who are living in urban or rural areas in our countries that don't have a television, and they're not necessarily poor. So you have these relative situations. Inequality sustained is undermining social sustainability, undermines social capital. You end up with civil wars. You can see that all around Egypt, from Libya to Sudan to Somalia to Yemen to Syria to Iraq. You've got all sorts of wars going on. And it is fomented partly by inequalities, who has more control over resources and why. So we need to fight both battles.